Thank you for all the special music today, and you guys are singing pretty well too. I keep telling you that I'm excited when I sit in the front row. I get to hear the worship team this way and you guys singing this way. Maybe you want to sit in the front row more often instead of treating this like the splash zone and nobody wants to get in front of it. There's some good things that happen up there. Would you just bow your head with me as we just take a moment to pray before we open up the word this morning? Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for what you're doing today. And in the special music, we're uplifted. As we worship, we're uplifted. And we pray, Lord, also that as we go to your word, that our hearts would be open and willing to hear what you have to say, willing to allow you to do what's needed in our lives. And Lord God, that we would draw close to you today. We ask for heavy hearts to be lifted. We ask for circumstances to be ministered to, that as we surrender, as we enter into your presence, Lord God, would you do these things in our lives? And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 24, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12 there in just a few minutes. And this morning I say this, we celebrate he has risen indeed, amen. You sense it as you go to worship. There's just something a little extra when you stop and you think about what Christ did. And really, if truth be told, we should be living that life every day. We ought to be in that realm of thankfulness. We ought to be in that realm of grace and celebrating what Christ has done. And we should be celebrating because a God cares enough for us to go to the cross, to endure that suffering and to be resurrected by our Heavenly Father, that we might be able to experience eternal life, that we might here and now live a more powerful and meaningful life, having and finding purpose. And there is no other religions that can say that they serve a risen Savior. Amen? There's no other religions. There are all kinds of religious things. There's all kinds of people that have started things that they couldn't finish. But there is no Savior that is risen and allows us, only Christians, only Christ followers that follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, have the assurance of heaven as a believer because of what Christ did. And that's inclusive and exclusive. Inclusive meaning all that are invited, all are invited to find Christ, all are invited to receive what Christ has done for us. Exclusive in the fact that only those that accept what Christ has done would experience that. And the resurrection and the watching God fulfill his mission and his purpose is just one more example of we serve a God that will bring to completion when he said it is finished, and accomplish what he wanted to do on the cross for us. And that gets me excited, amen? That should get you excited. I love my district superintendent. I just got to tell you that. I love my district superintendent, Kerry Willis. I love what he's doing in the district. He wrote an article a few years ago for Holiness Today, and I want to share a portion, not just a moment, a glimpse of the article that he wrote. And first, let me say that. He is my pastor. He is my pastor to pastor you. He is my encourager so that I could be an encourager to you. And so as much as I sense the love of your pastor, that's where my heart goes with him. And I'll say this, no one understood what Jesus went through. Say amen to that. No one understood what Jesus went through. No one could understand what a pastor goes through except another pastor that has been there and done it. And I say this, no one understands what it's like to be a single mother until you're a single mother. Amen? So what I'm telling you this morning is that the reason that the Son of the living God came from heaven is so that he could experience what it was like for man, yet staying God. Doesn't that blow your mind? That blows my mind. That he was man enough to sense and feel what was needed for mankind to redeem us, yet all the point stayed God so that he could be a Savior. Amen? And to me, that blows my mind. And he did it without sinning. And he did it to completion to redeem mankind. The article that my pastor wrote was entitled "Yet," and he asked a question to the reader: "Have you reached yet?" That to me is pretty clever. Have you reached yet? When I was reading this article, all I could experience and sense is Jesus at Gethsemane, at the rock, you're going through all the times where the disciples couldn't even stay awake to be praying while he went and did what he was needed. But at Gethsemane, his blood, sweating, intense prayer that he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And the intensity and the sincerity and praying till he was literally sweating blood. And this article just made me look at this and at some point, we have to come to a point of surrender. Can you say amen? We have to come to a point of surrender to the Lord, to allowing him to do what is needed in our lives. Our will needs to bow to his will so that we too can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. At some point, we have to turn our sinful ways and our sinful life over to a sinless Jesus and allow him to be God, to allow that death, burial, and resurrection to be a part of our life. I said all of that to get to the text. We ought to be done by 2:30. Some of you say amen. Some of you say, oh me. I know, I hear you. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." When they remembered his words, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. You see, the road to the resurrection happened all the way when Christ decided to come. The Christmas story, when Christ decided that he was going to come. The road to the resurrection was the prophecy that was written years and years and years before Christ even came, and the fulfillment of those words that were recorded and said what was going to happen and what it would mean to mankind to read of the passion that he had to go through the death, burial, and resurrection, all of the things that led to the cross. All of those that were doing everything within their power to send him to the cross. And you realize that they didn't kill him. He allowed himself to be the sacrifice. Amen? He allowed himself to do that. And I kind of shudder and I think why God has a sense of humor. Because the devil did everything he could to send Jesus to the cross, believing that that was the end. That was the game plan to break what Christ had started. And all the time, the devil thought he was winning. But all he was doing is helping Jesus fulfill his, his promise to us. He thought that death would be the end of Jesus and the death would be the end to everyone that served God. Jesus said that the last enemy that we would face is death, but because of his crucifixion and because of his resurrection, he says, I have defeated death. Some of you say amen to that. Because there's so many that fear death, and he says, I've got this. As a child of God, he's got this. He went to the cross alone so that when we die, we don't have to be alone. Amen? I believe with all my heart that the time as we take our last breath, that God will be right there with us. Say amen to that? Scripture shows us that. It shows us that how much he cares. Verse 7 says, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. They found the stone rolled away. If you read the scripture there, they took off. The ladies took off thinking that they were going to do burial perfume and burial spices. One preacher this week I heard said it was part of the Spice Girls. Now, I got a kick out of that. I wish that would have been mine, but it's not. I'm passing it on. But they go to the tomb to do this, and then they realize, how are we going to get in? And just as fast as they realize how we're going to get in, they found that the tomb was open. And then when they go in there, they find that the stone has been rolled away. They expected a body. They expected to do these burial tasks to the body, but they found the tomb empty. And then there's two men. Scripture says that they were like lightning standing before them. And it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, I don't know about you, but if two men standing with a glow like lightning said, why do you look for the living among the dead? I would have got excited, wouldn't you? I would have first wondered what was going on, but, you know, he's not here. He has risen, just like he said. Remember how he told you that this is what's going to happen. And then in other scripture, he says, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then you have to see the confusion with the disciples as some of them were saying, well, somebody stole the body of Christ. And how even the Roman soldiers were paid money to say, you know what, just say that the disciples came and stole the body. Then there's what they call the swoon effect, that they think that Jesus was unconscious and came conscious and got himself out of the tomb. And then there's a part of them that says all of those witnesses, which were over 500 of them, all of those witnesses must be seeing things. I think Scripture's pretty clear, don't you? I think, you know, if you're going to struggle with the Lord on the truths of the Lord, but he's proven everything that he's written down. There was witnesses. He fulfilled all that he said he was going to do. I think the evidence is clear. And I think if you have a seeking heart, you're going to find the truth. I think if you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life, I believe that it would bring confirmation, not confrontation, confirmation of his truth, of his resurrection. I think as much as we want to see a God that forgives us, I think it's so important that we see how our sins are forgiven. Amen? Because we all want that. We all want to be forgiven. We all want to experience God in some way. But if you look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a fundamental truth. It's an essential truth. It's the doctrine of Christianity. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are not forgiven. And it tells us that our faith is worthless, that all the things we're doing are in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. Me spending my life in ministry would be for vain. If Christ didn't die, if Christ wasn't resurrected, there would be no reason for me to stand here today. The resurrection is why we're here. It's why we come to church every Sunday. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope, gives us courage, gives us strength, gives us everything that we need. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance. that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. The bottom line is the resurrection of Christ has some benchmarks that you can't take away. There are some things that as Christians we can debate, you know, whether you're on this side of the issue or this side of the issue. There are some things that you can debate. But you cannot debate this: Christ died for your sins. You cannot debate that Christ was dead to the dead, and buried and resurrected. You can't debate that. And that he was resurrected on that third day. And he appeared to the witnesses, fulfilling all the prophecy and everything else. The fate of all humanity falls on these benchmarks. You can't take away any of those. And you have to settle that between you and the Lord. Like I said, I don't believe as believers that we die alone. I believe he's with us. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God bears witness as we seek him, as we draw close to him, that our spirit bears witness with his spirit. And God begins to show us these things. Sure, there's things that we're not going to understand. And like me, that's mind-boggling how God could be half man and God, yet do what he's supposed to do. No mind can comprehend that fully. That's why Isaiah says that my ways are higher than your ways, when he's talking about the Lord. We can't comprehend that. You have to settle some of these things in your own mind. The problem today is not that we believe or disbelieve that he died for our sins. The problem today is that most want salvation without following Christ. Most want salvation without that transformation. Most want the benefits of following Christ, but want to somehow dumb it down. So what the resurrection means to me is this, and I see it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. These verses prove the authenticity of Christ, the Son of God. It proves the value of Christ's work on the cross. It assures us of salvation through his bloodshed and his resurrection. It gives us sanctification, allowing us to be set apart, to be different, to allow the Lord to work in our lives. My question for these last couple minutes is this: what are you going to do with his resurrection? What part does he play? What question do you have that the Lord has not already answered? Where is the resurrection important in your life? The importance of the resurrection even impacts our service, impacts our day, impacts our lives. I believe Christians are so weak because they're not spending time with the Lord. They're trying to do all of these things on their own strength, and we're getting beat up. We're missing out. Scripture says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Because we know that we will be resurrected to a new life, we can endure persecution and danger for Christ's sake. Because of the resurrection, so many martyrs have gone before us. And you wonder, how could somebody do something like that? How could somebody give their life? How could they, like some of these terrorists and stuff, that you know, if you accept Jesus, you're going to die. and they still have the strength to be able to say, I will not deny Christ. You can only do that in Christ's power. You can only do that when your hope and your assurance is so firm on what God has already done. The resurrection is the triumph and glorious victory for every believer. I want to ask you something. It may step on your toes, may put you on the spot, but I promise you I'm doing it in the love of Christ. I want to ask you a question, and you've got to answer it. You can't put it off. The answer to the question is a matter of life and death, and you can't put off life and death questions. In Matthew 27, we find that Jesus is standing before Pilate. We see that Christ has been betrayed by Judas. We see that the Roman soldiers have arrested him. And now he's facing Pilate, who thinks he holds Jesus' fate in his hands. But really what is happening here is Pilate really holds his own fate in his hands. As Pilate is sitting on that judgment seat, and he's with Jesus standing nearby, he asks a question that each one of us needs to and must ask ourselves. He says this in Matthew 27, 22, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? And today I need to ask you, what are you going to do with Jesus who is called Christ? There's only two answers that you can give. There's only two. You can accept what he's done and begin serving the Lord. You can accept what he's done and recommit your life to the Lord and live your life for him. Or you can reject him. See, there's no, I'll get back to you on that. There's no, I'll think about it and come back later. Because when you say, I'll think about it later, you've chosen to reject him. Do you understand the implications there? I believe with all my heart that at times the Lord speaks through other people, through the word and through circumstances, and he's I believe he's speaking to some as we even ask that question. See, we're never told whether Pilate ever accepted the Lord, even though he did everything that he could to try not to be the one that put him down. And you stop and you think about this, but I'll guarantee this, even though the scripture doesn't say whether he did or didn't, I'll tell you, 1 second after he took his last breath, he realized that Christ was Lord. But the only problem is, if he didn't accept Christ, it was too late. Do you say amen to that? It's not a fact. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. We know that there's no question that there's going to be a time that we're going to realize that Christ is Lord, that everything he said was true. But the decision, the important decision that each and every one of us must make on ourselves is, what are we going to do with Christ? What are we going to do with that decision? See, I love this illustration. There's three on the cross. And when you stop and you think about it, the one on the left lost his way. The one on the far right found his way. And the one in the middle is the way. And when you stop and you think about that, that's decision time. That's the time that we have to answer these questions. We have to make those decisions. And you know, my other side is that what if you accepted Christ this moment for the very first time? Is that all you need? Well, the answer to that is no, too. See, salvation is a beginning. Say amen to that. Salvation is a beginning. It's not an end. Not the point where all of a sudden that you've been saved and you're on your way to glory, so I just do whatever I need to do now and it's over. Because once you accept Christ, it becomes this: what shall I do with Jesus today? What can I do for Jesus today? And I stop and think about this. Do we put him in and just bring him out on Sunday? You know, bring our best clothes, wear our Easter and our Christmas outfits, Do we put them in a box and we only bring them out when we go to church? Do we not spend time in study? Do we just allow that Bible to get dusty on our end table? Do we get alone with God in prayer and allow God to do some of these major things that he wants to do in our lives? Or do we sometimes just turn the TV on or the radio on and we allow these things to break that silence? Do we go to church or do we go to the golf course? Do we do this or do that? Do we choose to clean up our language or do we just refuse to have an attitude of whatever? Do we support other Christians and get involved? See, when somebody says, I can do Jesus without church, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other to be in fellowship. We need each other to be accountable. We need each other because we're all on a mission. And that mission just says, go tell the people about Jesus. Tells us that every day our walk is strengthened or weakened by what we do. So again, I ask you the question, what are you going to do with Jesus? What shall you do? Will you let him change your life? This morning, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, you can, in the quietness of your heart, just accept him and ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask you to move you into a new relationship with him, asking you to bear witness that his death, burial, and resurrection is the only way that you can have salvation. You can't do it on your own, and that's why good people and being good people is not enough. There's plenty of good people. But Jesus died for sinners. For a lot of us, we know him as Savior, but we don't know him as Lord. Now let that sink in a minute. We know him as Savior because we want him to be our salvation. We want him to be the way to heaven. We want him to give us that fire insurance, so to speak. But he wants to be Lord of our lives too. See, he says he wants to be Lord and Savior, which means that every day we should be seeking his face, asking him what we need to do. Every day we ought to be asking him what does he want to change, and we should see transformation. We should see a life change. I'm going to ask the hard question, and I'm going to ask you just to, in a minute, to bow your head and ask you the hard question. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to do that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I want to pray with you. It's not to spot you out, even though the Lord says, if you won't admit me in front of others, then I'm going to deny you in front of my Father. There is an accountability. You can't hide from whether you accepted him or not. There ought to be, yes, I have not done that. And if you can't remember ever doing it, you probably didn't do it. The Lord needs to minister to you. And then the other side of it is this. There's so many Christians today and the world is beating them up. You're on your way to heaven, but he's not Lord of your life. And he wants that transformation. You'll see things happen if you allow him to do that. So would you just bow your head for a moment? I believe this is a godly moment. This is between you and the Lord. If you have never asked Jesus into your life, and the Lord is speaking to you this morning, would you today acknowledge him? Would you acknowledge him as Lord of your life? You can do that by just raising your hand and putting it back down, and I'll be praying for you. And what's he saying to you? It's don't worry about who's looking or what's going on. They wouldn't be standing in front or by you when you stand before the Lord. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, yes, I want Jesus in my life? other side of that, and I believe there's a lot, because I think there's areas in every single one of our lives that we could raise our hand and say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life, especially in this area of my life. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven, but you this morning would say, you know what, Pastor, I'd like you to pray because there are some things going on in my life that I need God to take care of. I see any hands this morning for that? Yeah, amen. I see lots of hands. Anyone else that would just say, you know what, Lord, there's areas of my life that I desire for you to get involved in, but it's been hard. And again, on Friday night, during our prayer time, I believe God answered some prayer. And the Lord says, there are some things that only come by prayer. There are some things that will only come by confession and allowing me to work in your life. So, amen to those that raised their hands. That would say, you know what, Lord, I have no skeletons in my closet that I want to keep from you. And then I'm just going to ask you to continue as we just close now in prayer. Father, for those that have never made a decision for you, and maybe they're there this morning and they just could not raise their hand, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would minister to them. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives, and we're not judges, and we're not here to say whether someone is or not or what's going on. But I'm asking, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit of God would minister and bring the truth of God into people's lives. I thank you for the hands that were raised and said, you know what, Lord, there is areas of my life that I've struggled with and I need help. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that for those that raised their hands, that, Lord Jesus, you would minister to them. I pray that in time that we would hear victories, that we would hear testimonies of what you're doing. We serve an awesome God, a God that still does miracles, a God that still wants to intervene in our lives, and I rejoice in what you've been doing lately. Maybe because we're more sensitive to your moving when we can just hear these testimonies, when we can see these things. Lord God, all I know is I want to see more of it. I want to see you move in people's lives. I want to see this community reached for Christ. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see people that would stand up and give victory about what's going on in their lives. The things that they struggle with, they struggle no more. That's the power of God. That's what we want to see in our lives. And we can have it. Your life says that we can have an abundant life. That's not only for the days of moving to and going to heaven. That's for right now in you, in your strength, in your Holy Spirit. We can have abundant life and a life and time that is in turmoil. We can have the peace of God, and we can have the abundant life that you promised. And I ask, Lord God, that we would seek it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.